Hey guys, Danielle here. So it's Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock and we're going to be doing our weekly check-in event. Today we are talking about year-end preparation. So I get asked a lot about year-end preparation when it comes to businesses. Now, I'm going to start the tax talk and this is open to discussion. So if anybody is commenting on it, obviously we'll go through your questions. But if you have additional questions, feel free to leave them on the event page or message us as well. So we're talking about year-end prep. So we do have a lot of clients that have summer year-ends. There's a misconception that all businesses have December 31st year-ends. And while we do have a lot of December 31st year-ends, we also have a lot of summer year-ends. So year-ends ending in July, August, and September. So if you are one of those businesses that has a financial fiscal year ending this summer, then you are thinking about your year-end. And this will apply even if you do have a December 31st year-end because you'll be planning towards that over the next 5 months. So let's talk about some simple year-end planning tips for small businesses. This is going to be catered specifically to corporations. We will talk about a little bit to do with sole proprietorships as well, but we're going to be focusing on corporations today. So I am going to share a resource on the Facebook page called 10 Simple Year-End Planning Tips for Small Businesses. I'm basically following along with this. So if you guys have missed any points or you guys want further clarification, take a peek at this as it'll be the accompaniment for this video. So when we're talking about, you know, getting ready for your year-end, it doesn't have to be complicated, okay? So if you're doing your year-end stuff all year properly anyway, then your year-end is kind of just a cleanup and a last, you know, last bit of stuff as far as just finishing off your year-end. So let's talk about 10 simple strategies. So we get to the end of or close to our year-end and we're considering a major purchase. We're going to do it, we're going to suggest that you do it before your year end, so within the like month before if you can. And the reason why is because if you have a GST number, then you're going to get a simple quick boost in GST credits before your year end, which is great. The larger the purchase, the more GST there is, and it's just an easy way to give yourself a boost at the end of your year end. We also want to talk about cash expenses. So have you claimed your cash expenses? We get lots of clients that will work with us and they'll bring us bank statements and they'll bring us credit card statements and then, you know, they'll bring us some receipts. But what we always suggest at the end of your year end is that you go through and review your cash expenses. So what we're looking for is anything else that you've paid out of your personal account, anything else that, you know, if you grabbed coffee and it was cash, it would be very advantageous for you because it's, you know, all those expenses are dollar for dollar reductions off your corporate income. And we want to make sure that number is as low as possible so that we can, you know, pay as little tax as possible as well, which is very good. And then we also need to talk about lowering your shareholder loan. And if we're doing that, then any cash expenses or anything paid through your personal account or personal credit cards will directly reduce your taxable income, which is coming from your shareholder loan. Third one is that we want to talk about our car for business. So we do have lots of people that will claim the receipts. We do have some that will do mileage. If you do mileage, then at the end of the year, obviously we need a mileage log. And with that, we're going to give you some kilometers based on usage there. If you have questions about the fuel receipts and vehicle expenses versus a fuel log, just send me a message and I can kind of give you a bit of a more comprehensive breakdown. But for today, let's talk about fuel logs, in that if that's something that you've chosen to keep in business, then you need to get that to your accountant, or if we're your accountant, then you need to get that to us by the end of the year so that we can finish off the rest of the calculations for your mileage and your vehicle expenses. So if you are experiencing your very first year end, that's fantastic. We want to talk about things that you bought before you incorporated. So if you're in your first year of business and you bought a vehicle before you incorporated, or you bought assets before you incorporated, we want to make sure that we capture those assets and that we're giving you credit for those, even though they were purchased previous to your year end. So those will end up being shareholder credits, which will again reduce the amount that you have to claim as income in relation to what you took out of the business through your shareholder loan. So these are very important things to remember. Every single business is entitled to a 20% home office credit. It doesn't have to be a physical office in your house. If you're one of those people like me, sometimes you're working on the couch, sometimes you're working in bed, sometimes you're working on the deck. It doesn't come down to, I mean, if you want to justify more than 20%, then square footage is a very good way to do that. For some businesses, say personal trainers, if you've, you know, turned your basement into a personal training, you know, space, then you get to write that off at a higher percentage. And if you have a daycare, day homes and daycare, some day homes will incorporate. And if you are an incorporated day home or daycare center, then you get a little bit more credit if the facility is your home for business. But other than that, we basically need to, you know, add up all of our home expenses. So if we are homeowners, we statistically say we'll spend between $20,000 and $30,000 a year on our home. If you're owning your home, checklist to get ready for your year end is going to be your mortgage interest. So not your mortgage payments. It's very important differential there. In January of every year, your banks will send out a statement to the interest paid in the last calendar year. If you need something that shows what happened in your fiscal year, then you need to contact your mortgage, whoever holds your mortgage, your bank or a mortgage broker, and get them to send you a statement that shows the interest that was paid. We also want to talk about utilities. So you get to write off a portion of your utilities, which is going to be your electricity and your power and your water and your heat. And we can write off your internet in your business as well. We want to talk about home insurance. That's a big one as well. And property taxes. This year we look at all these brand new neighborhoods popping up, and you know, there was a time when property taxes cost $4,000, and the highest that I've seen this year is $15,000. So even at 20 or 30% of that, that's a very large dollar for dollar reduction off your taxable income. So it's something that we absolutely need to be keeping track of. The next one and the last one on the home expenses side will be condo fees. If you paid dues or memberships to live in a certain area, if you have condo fees, those are an absolute straight up business expense. We definitely need to claim those. I guess the last one we need to talk about is repairs and maintenance. So when we talk about the home office expenses and repairs and maintenance, it's a little bit difficult because we definitely want to make sure that we're keeping track of things that are essential. So we're not looking for, unless you're a landscaper, you can't go and landscape your yard and write it off for business. Just not how it works. You can't paint your house and redecorate and the whole darn shaboodle. You can't do that. But if you paint a home office, or you buy supplies for a home office, or you renovate essential things in your house, so if your furnace needs to be replaced and your hot water tank, and you know, sometimes we can get partial credits for roofing and siding and windows because those are essential to the heat and the ability to work inside your house. If you have questions about specific home repairs and you're not sure whether they qualify, just include them and we can have a conversation about it, and it's either going to be a yes or a no. So it's pretty simple, but we do need to make sure that we are capturing that. So that's work at home. Point number 6 on here is consider how you want to pay yourself. So we talked about paying yourself in a video that I put up yesterday. If you guys haven't seen that, go check out the How Do I Pay Myself video. When we are corporation owners, we have two choices to pay ourselves. We technically have three, but most people do one of the two. So you could be an employee in your company, and if you are an employee in your company, then your income's already taken care of. You may need a dividend to top that up if you've taken out more out of the company over and above what you have yourself on payroll. If you have not put yourself on payroll, then you have two options. So we can pay ourselves through dividends, or we can pay ourselves through T4. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that in this video because I am going to direct you to How I Pay Myself. It's about a 20-minute video on the ins and outs of how to pay yourself as a corporation owner. I will also link that link in this video description up top. Make sure you take a peek at that video as well. It's also on our YouTube channel. But essentially, we can either choose to do a T4 or a dividend, and the differences between those two is how much personal tax and how much corporate tax we want to pay. So we will look at that, as well as at your year-end time. That's my job to look over how much you have taken out of the business and determine if we need some more budgeting and planning strategies for next year if we're ending up with a bit higher on the income side. As we know, we pay a lot more tax on the personal side than we do on the corporate side, which is why we choose to have corporations. But if we drain every penny out of our company, then we're not really taking advantage of that tax shelter the way it's supposed to be used. So we want to talk about that. Point number seven is pension schemes. So if you have pension contributions through your company, we need to be looking at those very closely. We may need to look at if you have employees in your year end that are looking for information from their pension plans. We can talk about the ins and outs of what is tax deductible and what's not in another video. If you have questions specifically about pension plans in your business, just give me a shout, send me a message. We can talk more about that. So we've got number eight. So this one's very interesting because we do come across people that are looking for they have people that are family members or loved ones contribute money to their business. So there's a couple of ways we can deal with that. We can add them to company payroll, and we can pay them back that way. We can set it up as a long-term loan payable, which is great. Whether there's interest or not on loans given from family members is at your guys' discretion, but you should have some paperwork drawn up so that it's legitimately on the books and making sure then that that person it's not taxable income coming back to them. It's just a loan repayment for a personal loan, which is fine. But yeah, just some options there. Nine is deferring income. So you may be able, you may be one of those businesses that has invoicing in the way you do business. So we have options and flexibility with deferring income. I want to talk about it for 2 minutes here because we do have a large base of clients that do project-based invoicing. So if you're a project-based invoicing company, that means that you work on longer, bigger projects, and you'll probably take a deposit right when you get started on the job, and then the remainder will be paid out in increments or upon completion. So the way CRA wants you to track your income is pretty specific. They would like you, or you're supposed to, invoice for the total amount of the project up front, and then you pay your tax at the time of invoicing, not at the time of collection. Okay, but a lot of people will go ahead and they will invoice for the deposit, and then they will invoice for the remainder when they get to the completion of the project, whether that be a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year down the road. I'm going to tell you that the way that you're supposed to is pay tax up front. Now, obviously, if you're a business with a little bit of cash flow and you're having some issues with that, then we want to talk about, some other options for you guys. But technically, you should be paying tax when you invoice, not when you collect. Okay? It means that you're going to have probably a higher accounts receivable balance, and that's okay too, as long as we're recycling that in the next year and taking care of it. Okay? We also can talk about deferring income in the sense that if you have a project that you can hold off, so if you meet with a client and you're going to invoice the last week or two of the fiscal year, you could hold off those invoices and predate them for the first day of the new year if it helps you defer a little bit of income for tax purposes. There's other options where we need to show lots of profit in our corporation, and if we need to show a lot of profit in our corporation, then we want to be making sure that we date all those invoices into our fiscal year. Yes, there will be a higher tax bill to pay, but if you need to do things like get a mortgage and you need to show extra income, then we need to work on that. Hey, Maddie. Okay, so some projects last longer than the calendar year. Yeah, so if you have a project that extends past your year end, then yes, you're supposed to be invoicing 100% up front when you do the actual start of the project, regardless of how long it takes the project to complete. But again, you're going to find a lot of people that will do the invoice deposit up front, they'll pay tax on it, and then they'll defer the rest of the bill until the completion date, and then they'll invoice and accept payment. There's benefits and drawbacks to both sides of it, but I mean, as long as you're collecting the income and paying tax at the end of the day, that's the important part. But with project-based industries, you will see a fluctuation in your corporate revenue from year to year. It's just how it works, and it won't be because your business isn't doing things. It's just based on how the invoicing falls. So if you have multiple, longer than 1 year projects for clients, and you invoice at the beginning, and then you don't invoice again until it's done, you could have a lag in your income, so it could look artificially low or artificially high. So as long as you understand actuals versus projected revenues and things like that, then you'll be able to manage your books and your cash flow. But we can dig into that a little bit more too. I can do a video on project-based businesses, but there are definitely a few things that you need to know, and you should be trying to invoice upfront whenever possible. So let's talk about the very last point on this note, and I will publish this as soon as this video is done, so you guys can take a peek through it, and if you want to rewatch this video, then you can go through all the points on this checklist. The last one we want to talk about is charitable donations. So something that people don't realize is that on your personal taxes, donations are definitely a value to you, but to corporations, they're also a dollar-for-dollar taxable write-off to your income as well. So a lot of the times we say when you're coming up to your year-end, if you have the excuse to do donations, it's a really good time to do it right before your fiscal year end, so you can get those extra tax write-offs. There's no GST on charitable donations, so they're not going to affect your GST, but they are going to affect your corporate profit, which is very important. So if you guys are looking for an excuse to donate to your favorite charity, that's a very good time to do it. So those are some very quick and dirty tax tips for planning for your fiscal year end. I am going to add a note here at the end of this video that when we're talking about year ends for business, there's a very, very important distinction to be made between sole proprietorships and incorporated companies. So this video has been very specifically tailored towards incorporated businesses, but there are lots of things in this talk that do apply to sole proprietorships. But the most important point that we need to get across, and the most important point that I get asked about a lot, is that as a sole proprietorship, you do not get a say in your fiscal year. So you are always by default January to December 31st for whatever year it is, or in your first year, it may be whatever day you started business. Maybe you started March 2nd, then it would be March 2nd to December 31st, and you will always run January to December. So when we're doing inventory and we're doing accounts receivable and we're doing accounts payable, we want to absolutely be on top of that at the end of December. So the beginning of January, we need to record those numbers, because by the time we actually file our taxes as a sole prop, it could be up to 6.5 months later, because you have the extended deadline to file by June 15th, which means that that information could be very blurry by the time we get there to do your taxes. So January is going to be the month that you want to spend some time just getting, you know, some reports printed from your business and get, you know, all those important numbers out of the way. For inventory and things like that, that's one point that's not on this worksheet that I'm going to share with you guys, but we'll talk for 2 minutes about inventory. If you guys have inventory in your business, I am going to hammer on the fact that you guys need to do it a few times a year, at least twice a year, so biannually. But if you can't do it two times a year, you have to do it within the last 2 or 3 weeks of your fiscal year. And the reason why is because, again, your stock is going to be changing so fast that by the time we get to actually doing your year end, even for fiscal year ends for corporations, you have up to 90 days to file. So when you have 90 days to file, that information could be completely inaccurate by the time we actually sit down and do the year end. So we want to be making sure that we're having those accurate numbers, you know, whenever possible. If you have a software that keeps track of your inventory, that's great. If you've got a POS machine that keeps track of your inventory, also great. But a lot of people will carry smaller inventory amounts, and they won't have a software that does it for them. So then we're looking at a manual count. If you're looking at a manual count for your inventory, I usually suggest you put aside at least a day or two, because you're going to do your first run of inventory and then you're going to second check it. And the reason why we need to do that is because we're human and we mess up numbers and we're dyslexic on the best of days. And we want to make sure that that number is as straightforward as possible. Now, when we're talking about inventory, the other reason why inventory is the bridge I choose to die on when it comes to what I'm going to hammer out that you need to do in your business, is that when you become a larger, you know, organization and you're carrying a standing inventory, maybe you're a retail store, is that people are crooked and people suck. You're going to have people that pocket things, you're going to have employees that steal from you, you're going to have a lot of things to deal with that if you're not checking every few months or at least biannually, you will have absolutely no clue about. And that's horrible, because as a business owner, you're losing money, you're losing that accountability of being able to confront staff members or customers that are potentially screwing you over. So keeping on top of our inventory is so very important. When we talk about that, ideally you should be doing it every 3 months, but if you can do it biannually, do it biannually. So yeah, within the last 2 or 3 weeks of your year end, so we get as close to a complete accurate number as possible is definitely recommended. So like I said, when we talk about year end stuff, I mean, most businesses are not ready to go within the like 30 days directly, you know, after their year end date. It's just not how it works. So that's why the government gives us 90 days as an incorporated business to file our taxes. But we also don't suggest that you bring us your books at the, you know, at the 87th day and go, woohoo, I have 90 days to file. I need to be filed in 4 days. because then we're going to be a little unhappy with you, because we don't want to be rushed doing what we do, because we want to have enough time to go back and forth with you about the specifics and the, you know, all the stuff we need to go back and forth about inventory and home expenses and vehicle expenses and paying yourself and all of that stuff. So we want to make sure that we give ourselves a good timeline to do that. So I'm going to suggest that you try and aim for, you know, if it takes you a little longer to put your year together, we want to be making sure that we're getting our books to our accountant by about the 40th to 45th day, so somewhere right in the middle, so that your accountant has a couple of weeks to finish off that year end. It usually doesn't take that long, but it's a good rule of thumb just so that we're not squeaking by on any deadlines. So if you guys are one of those people that squeaks by right at the end of your year end, or you guys are a couple years behind, we need to get on top of those things as soon as possible. And that's going to be one of those very, very critical business, you know, mentality aspects that we need to learn, okay? It's not something that you're going to always just, you know, be perfect at, and it's not something that people directly necessarily tell you to do right off the bat, but it's something that's very important to the health of your business, because we incur a lot of interest and penalties if we fall behind on those deadlines. So hopefully you guys found some helpful information in this talk. We're keeping these Wednesday ones quick and short, and we are posting intermittent ones. Like I said, if you guys have questions on how to pay yourself, check the link above. I'll put the link to that video as well as the resource here that I've been reading off and following through for this video. If you guys have more year-end prep questions, or your year-end is coming up and you're looking for a switch of accountants, hit that send message button and give us a shout, and we'll be sure to help take care of you in that regard. And if you guys have general questions, again, we're open, we're very, you know, very happy to help answer questions whenever we can. We do free consultations if you guys want to come down and have a conversation with me. We also are training some very qualified staff in our office right now, so we're going to be open to taking more bookings and more appointments and more clients in the next couple of months. Big expansion going on in our office, so if you guys don't directly sit with me, I need you to understand that every person in my office is going to be trained to be a mini-me. So what you hear in these videos is definitely me talking as the business owner, but all of my staff is very well trained and very well capable of helping you with exactly the same stuff as I do. So if you guys have questions, like I said, give us a shout. This video is going to be posted. It doesn't actually post right to the event page. It will be posting directly to Danielle's SOS Bookkeeping Facebook page. I'm also going to share it in our tax group. If you guys haven't joined our tax group yet, you want to search Tax Tips Business and Personal into Facebook groups, and you'll find our group. Give it a join. I'm sharing all kinds of business how-to, tips and tricks, videos, things like that. And it's a free forum for you guys to ask questions and basically pick the brain of an accountant for no charge, which is always nice. And this video will also be up on our YouTube channel. If you guys can like, share, and subscribe to that, that'd be awesome. We're trying to build a following over there. And if you guys would like to see new content or specific things covered in videos, give us a holler and we'll make sure to take that into consideration. And then keep an eye out, because we do have the next 10 Wednesdays planned out in future dated events on the Danielle's SOS Bookkeeping page. Give those take a peek at those, and if there's something that interests you, give us a shout, and we'll see you guys next Wednesday. Thanks.